Hello.
Hey, Sherry.
Good morning.
Hey.
Good morning.
Well, I almost thought I didn't have you on the show.
I could hear some technological scrambling there in the background. Good morning.
Mm. Good morning. Well, here was our assignment from Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. It is not healthy to be thinking all the time. Thinking is intended for acquiring knowledge or applying it. It is not essential living. Today, practice the simple not thinking of not attending to the incessant nattering inside the head. Instead, attend to the spaces between the thoughts rather than to the thoughts. Turn on the recorder and record the in-the-moment experience of spaces between the thoughts. What does it feel like to have attention on awareness rather than on conditioned mind?
Mm.
March 25th. What would people think about if people weren't taught what to think about? Today, don't think about that. Today, continue the practice of thinking, not thinking, slipping into those spaces that would be filled with thoughts. Feel awareness expand as attention focuses on awareness. Watch how the intelligence that animates drops in insight, clarity, and guidance. RL your experience of living without engaging conditioned mind. Enjoy a laugh at ego squirming as you do this assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And then March 26th. Having precise ideas often leads to a person doing nothing. Today, notice an area of your life in which conditioned ideas are so precise they have become limitations. And then the limitations are so entrenched and believed that they have resulted in a lack of participation. I don't enjoy that. I'm not that kind of person. I don't want to. And the ever-popular unexamined no. In a small act of rebellion, practice doing what precision limits. As you face down ego resistance to engage this tiny in this tiny act, sense in how many other areas of your life you're being kept in the same bondage.
Wow. Weekends are big in practice, aren't they?
They seem to be. So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hello,
hey,
Tony.
Hey, Siri and Ashwini. Well, at first I have to say that I decided over the weekend I was going to call in, and partly because I noticed I was starting to drift away a little bit from doing the assignments, and I knew that if I committed to calling in, it would strongly motivate me to work on one of the assignments and get me back engaged.
Good for you, Tony. And the thing that I want to underline about that is that you are a person who knows that when you make a commitment, you're going to keep it. So you made a commitment to call in, and there was nothing, the conditioning knew that it would be futile to try to get you not to do the assignments so that you wouldn't call in, because you were going to call in.
Yes. Yeah, actually, that's good to hear, because there was no conversation about, well, maybe I won't.
Right. That's exactly right. That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
Becoming somebody we can trust to keep our word to ourselves, that's huge.
Yes, yes. I thank practice for that. And yesterday's assignment was, I swear y'all wrote it from me. I think you just wrote it from me. Because I have done that process countless times where there's this, you know, it's got to be this way, and it may start out really joyful. Let's say a project I'm working on starts out beautiful and joyful and fun, and at some point, it's got to be this way. You've got to do it this way. All these
has to turn out this way, has to mean this, has to, you have to feel this, you have to, people have to, everything has to, until you just feel yourself backed into that corner, right? Just, it's paralysis.
That
precision is paralysis.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it even happened fairly recently, and I was thinking back on it, and I could see where it was like this iron door got slammed shut, and it was like, no, it was that just really big, no more. We're done with this. Project or whatever. After spending, I did it one time. I spent 5 years on some things, and then it was like the door shut. It's like, nope, that's over.
Wow.
Yeah. Yikes. So,
and not at that point. It sounds like not realizing what had happened to you, just believing everything about it.
Yes, because this was many years ago. This one that was. After many years, it was totally believable and just a big fat no. And I just, just looking at it as a sign, it's like, I don't want to do that anymore.
No, that's a no that we want to stick with. No,
right.
No conditioning. We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. But it was fun because then, since I knew I was going to call in, I thought, I have to do the whole assignment. So the second part was, as a small act of rebellion, do the thing. And so I put aside an hour to work on one of these projects that had gotten no, and record it. I had the recorder right there. So I'm listening and then adding to the recording and... Of course, everything was just fine. It was enjoyable. There was nothing wrong. And it was interesting that I could do it because I, out of commitment and because I wanted to do the assignment more than for the sake of the project itself.
Yes. In other words, the process was way more important than the content.
Yes.
Which is how we prove to ourselves that it actually doesn't matter what we do. So in conditioning's world and what it does to people is make the content everything. We don't even get to notice that there's a process going on because the content is everything. And in practice, we just slide over to actually the content is irrelevant. The process is everything. So if I'm here and present and grateful and joyful, I can be on my knees scrubbing a floor having the best possible time. But if it's all about the content, that's where I'm on miles of white beach forever, sitting in my little lounge chair with my umbrella drink, completely miserable.
Mm. Yeah, gosh. It's such a great reminder of that. And it's really... take it in that it truly, truly is not the content.
Mm-hmm. And the recording and listening right in the midst of it, right? That's the key, right? You're doing it. You're having the experience. You're recording it. You're listening. You're right here. You're present. You're engaged. Yeah.
Yes. And everything. And I saw so much. It's like I really got to see. Because what makes that big iron door shut is conditioning, of course, and conditioning's criticisms. And while I was working on it this morning, this project, it was like conditioning absolutely does not care what this thing looks like. All these criticisms, it doesn't care.
No, doesn't care about the project, doesn't care about you, doesn't care about anything except getting attention. And as we know, negativity is the way to get attention. So, criticizes you, then you'll feel bad, then you'll listen to it, then you'll try to please it, then if you were different, and now you're just off in suffering. And none of it has anything to do with anything except suffering. If people could get that, those voices don't care about your your project. They don't care about your job. They don't care about your relationships. They don't care about your health. They don't care about money. They don't care about anything except getting your attention engaged in their negativity.
Hmm.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah. It's
liberating.
Yeah. It is. Yes. Yes. Because you know, just to see so clearly that all of that is conditioning, and I don't have to listen to it. I don't have to obey it.
You don't. You don't. You're a free agent, which
yes.
is how life wants us to live, as free agents.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tony. You know, Sherry, it's just so wonderful to see that the process of conditioning is the process of suffering. And so the way it keeps us in suffering is to make it about the content.
Yes.
That, so we
and
don't
it
recognize
never
that
is.
We're in that process. Yeah.
Yeah.
That we shouldn't care about the job or the relationship. But all of that is the content within the process of suffering. And so when we get to it's not about the content, it's about the process of suffering, then we can exit it by losing interest in the content.
Precisely. Now there's Tony doing the project in order to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a completely different world.
Yes, because that's all we're doing. We're in the process of increasing presence or increasing consciousness or whatever else, which is
how we want to talk about getting here.
Getting here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's,
here's our next.
You know, this is one of those things, Ashwini, that we say all the time, all the time, and we can know it intellectually, and we can even have an experience of it periodically, but when we really get it, that's when everything changes forever. Doesn't mean we won't get bamboozled again, because we probably will, but it changes forever. When you really get those voices don't care about anything except getting your attention, the way to do that is to make you suffer, and that content in life is utterly irrelevant. Process is everything. When that comes together for a person, joy is all there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be, you know, those are the kinds of things we want to write down in big letters and pin up on the wall and make countless recordings about until we shift everything around and it drops in with the kind of clarity that transforms a life forever. That's what we're going for here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it assists us to cultivate the lack of interest in the content and in me, because that's what gets maintained.
Yes.
In remaining in the process of suffering.
Yes.
And being interested in the content.
So.
We just perpetuate the content. We perpetuate the process.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's a big one to wrap our heads around, and actually we can't wrap our heads around it, but we can let go of it. It's a big one to have come together. It's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Somewhere I read the ego is so fascinated by itself, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And it's fascinated by itself, and it's in quotes, life depends on us being fascinated with it.
Yes.
That's what it's going for. And my suffering, until this point where we see it, my suffering is the most fascinating thing in the world. How I'm suffering, how to avoid it, what I need to do, the improvement, the changes, the figuring it out, all of that is how ego sets that hook and just reels us in.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jane in Colorado.
Hello, Jane.
Hi, Jane. So good to be on. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
I've had a weekend exploring the reading from March 26th about having ideas precise ideas lead to doing nothing because I had a really bad cold all weekend and I was trying to do nothing and just really was, the first thing was I finally am seeing compassion for this dear being that is trying so hard and keeps getting beat up by conditioning. So I had read the Huber Cure, and so I was trying to do nothing, and I'm seeing that I go from bringing awareness when I'm doing things, but when I stop doing, I immediately jump into unconsciousness.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why... you're a meditator, so, you know, we sit down to meditate and conditioned mind doesn't say, okay, well, time out. I'll snooze over here in the corner till you get through meditating. You go ahead and be present. Unconsciousness just off in fantasies in the past and the future and conversations and all of that sort of, it's just scrambling to keep us from being consciously present in the moment. Very easy to do when we're busy. But as soon as we stop, it's much harder for conditioning to distract us and put us to sleep, but it manages.
Yeah, yeah, and I have a belief, you know, from this reading that I am really bad at, I mean, conditioning has a belief that I'm really bad at just being still. That I don't know.
Well, conditioning wants you to believe. It doesn't believe that.
Oh.
But it really wants you to believe that. So that's very good because that's the place at which we can say, is that so? Huh, I'm really bad at that. Well, let's explore that. I'll really want to spend much more time in stillness to explore whether or not it's true that I'm not good at this. So what does good at this mean? So being present in stillness, well, that's exciting. Let's see how that happens. Let's see how that works.
Oh.
Yeah? So yeah, instead of accepting it, accepting the assessment, take it as a challenge. Okay, well, I would like to get good at that. Okay, let's take that on.
I immediately, that's really helpful because you gave me a little bit of space there because I immediately go to eating something or, you know, getting on my computer. Like when the stillness sets in, there's this fear and this urgency about something. There's something wrong. You know, so I have
there.
Fill up the space.
That's right. There you felt ego's reaction.
That's easy.
So that's right. That's exactly the point where you want to just stop and watch. Yeah. So you're going to be still and ego panics.
Yes. Tells me I'm an addict. Tells me, I mean, just the stories are just ridiculous. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So just. No,
to watch.
To watch.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there it is. The stillness is there, and ego starts to panic, and inside you just get a little smile with a, come on, ego. Come on. Do your stuff here. I'm watching. Yeah. And things get very still for a while, right? Because it doesn't want to be revealed in that way. So if you stay with it, stay a little bit longer, there will be a little tiny distraction that happens, and it can get you to start thinking about something, and then poof, there it is back in again, right? So that's, I mean, we're talking subtle here, but fascinating.
Yes.
As long as you know it's not you, you're the one who's watching it, and you're watching for every subtle and gross sign of how it captures and keeps a human being's attention.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you to the beings that do the recordings, because I'm going to need to listen to this again and again.
Well, it is. I hope everybody takes it. I mean, we've had a couple of big conversations already on this morning, right? And that's another one. That's one of those where we want to write it out, and then we want to record it and listen to it a lot. That what I'm actually doing here is practicing getting into that space between the thoughts and being able to stay there to watch what ego, what conditioned mind does to try to pull me into, lure me into its realm. Okay? And the list is endless, from you can't do this, you're inadequate, and you're a bad person because you can't, and it's hopeless, and you should just quit, and this is not, I don't want to, no, this is not fun, this is not interesting, this is not exciting. The list is long of the techniques that it uses to pull us into its sphere. And we're learning to stay right here as it does that.
And it's not me doing it.
That's right.
That is so fabulous. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Very, very, very lit up with confidence that I can do this, because this has been a big, big hurdle, and I really, really appreciate the guidance. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, it's so exciting. Thank you. Take good care. Enjoy. The rest
Thank
of this
you.
Cold
Thank
is going to be a hoot.
Yes. Yes. Bring joy to it. That's what this means.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I love that, right, Shirley, that we are still, in order to see the process of suffering and how it gets created and maintained, and mm-hmm. that place that Jane was talking about where that's not who we are. And then in having the experience of witnessing the space between the thoughts, we drop the sense of a me and recognize what we are, because that which witnesses is what is that which is everywhere witnessing, and that witnessing is not a me doing anything.
That's right. And it's not a that, right? It's not that ego.
Yeah.
It's not what that conditioning has made us believe we are. The inadequate, don't get it, no willpower, no commitment, can't follow, all of that stuff is not who we are. And that witnessing, we get it that, this is a different realm, right, mm-hmm. than that ego realm. This is a completely mm-hmm. different reality. And talk about exciting doesn't even come close. So for the voices in conditioned mind, you've just stepped into, there's nothing going on here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing except the entire expansive universe.
Mm-hmm. Exactly so. I think we have time for one more caller.
Oh, goody.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller?
Oh, no.
Hello?
Have we got a next?
Can you hear me? This is Carol from San Francisco.
Oh, hi, Carol. Carol. There you are.
Oh, hi.
No, we couldn't.
I kept pushing.
We couldn't hear you before.
Pushing the wrong buttons. Okay, great. Oh, this call this morning has been so excellent. I can't wait to rehear it. So many things. The last caller brought up something, but I think I'll go back to my original thing, which was the precision assignment. And I love what you said, precision is paralysis. That explains it all. So
good. Yeah.
So for me, I had this experience of being overcommitted Sunday, too many commitments that I was expected to be at. So I noticed that the identity is that I am a person who keeps all my commitments. Okay, mm-hmm. That's my identity. But then also my intent is also to be a person who keeps my commitments. And so, you know, in practice, there was this sense of desperation and I can't be at all these places. And so then there's this thought, well, do you go the compassionate way? And is that just being indulgent? You know, which is after I recorded, it was dump one of them, you know? And so I got to be with that process of, you know, I am this person. I'm a person who doesn't ever, you know, not show up, and I'm not going to show up, and people are, so then that opens the door. Okay, so you make a choice, then you see, well, what will happen with that? There's no right or wrong way. I'm not doing it because I'm slacking. I just can't do it. And so then I get to be with, well, let's see how unmanageable things get within life when I'm listening to conditioning and letting it make the schedule, first of all.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how I got talked into such overcommitting. And then I get to be with people being mad at me. And, you know, it's all practice as a result of just making a decision, period. You know?
Yes.
Does that make
yes.
sense?
Oh, yeah. And it's how we get to the place of letting life lead. How because going in either direction with that, you lose, as you pointed out. So you try to be everything to everybody all the time, and then you're miserable, and then you don't show up for things, and then people are upset. And so then people go into, well, I've just got to stop making these. No, that's not it either. Although, you know, people will do that for a while and realize that trying to live in the present from a dualistic perspective is just never going to work. And so that finally we're driven to, okay, I'm just going to be in the present here. And in the present, life offers us what there is to do. And then life is in charge. I just had one of my favorite things in the whole entire world, where there's too much going on and everything is happening really fast. And it's that place of, you know, okay, I can make this happen, but it's exhausting, right? And then things just start falling away. This person cancels this. This doesn't happen because of this. This doesn't. And suddenly, you know, there's all this spaciousness that I didn't have to arrange.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we trust life to guide us.
I get it. Mm. So what I notice in that process, too, is that if I will, yeah, like you said, try to keep all those commitments, but it's to keep conditioning quiet. You know, like I said,
right,
I don't have to get a beating, you know, for it.
Yep. Which never works, right? You cannot appease that devil.
No, you can't, because it's dualistic. Then I'll get a beating for being discombobulated and screwing it all up when I'm there. And then as opposed to just letting go and letting life kind of. And then the other piece of it was to have to. To be compassionate with the person that that made the choice to go against what I am identified as, a person who keeps their commitments.
Yes.
And yeah, and to be there with that and just watch all that flurry go by and let it be not as big as what the story would say that it is.
Yes, and we have ways of doing that, right? So you've committed to do something with me, and you know, I'm committed to that. I'm excited about it. I'm happy. And then you tell me, you know, I could do this, but I'm just exhausted. It's too much. I have just overextended myself. Could we postpone our time together? Could we not do this time? Would that, you know? And I'm going to say, of course, because I love you. I don't want you to be miserable in order to spend time with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Right.
And if somebody yeah. doesn't understand that, then you can be happy for them because they must have a different life than we have, right? Maybe they just don't, you know, they're bored. And so, yay, that's great. But this is the issue that you're struggling with. And for you to be present with it and working on it and honest and vulnerable about how you're doing with it, not in a I'm making excuses and it's license. It's not that. It's just authentically realizing when I got bamboozled. I got set up again. So now I'm going to bring mm-hmm. conscious awareness to getting out of this in the most compassionate way that I can. And there. It also, Carol, it grows for us compassion for other people who are struggling with whatever their karma is, right? And when yeah. that something happens for them and they're in this same place, we understand how that goes because we know that place for ourselves.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing that happen. You know, yeah. there would not be any before. And then because
right.
I've been compassionate, then I'm able to be for them too.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if we're precise, if we're locked in, if we have our identity in, by God, I keep my commitments. If it kills me, then God help the person who doesn't follow our precise rules.
Uh-huh. That's
yeah.
right. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, thank
yeah.
you for
thank
that.
Thank you so much.
For all these mornings and all you guys showing up. Really appreciate it.
Oh, good, good. Glad you're here, too.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Carol. It's just such an important place, right, Cherry, in practice, which is even practice can be used against us. Instead of presence, we get locked into precision.
Yes. Yeah, and precision is no substitute for presence, is it?
Absolutely not. Not even around mm-hmm. something like keeping commitments.
Yes. All these, you know, that's such an important point, Sharini, because, you know, in a dualistic world, there are as many things that conditioning tells us are good as are bad. They tend to be the same thing, right? But the good person does this, and the bad mm-hmm. person does that. And for us to look at the whole issue outside of a dualistic orientation is to turn it over to life to manage.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And from a place of compassion, it's the Ramdas thing about just because it's on your calendar does not mean it's going to happen.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, don't be confused
yeah.
about those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we're up against the clock, but that place, that's such an important place in practice where you what we're training to do in keeping commitments is not to get talked out of something by the voices, right? So the process we're actually doing is to calibrate to life and not to condition mind. And the way conditioning
yes.
takes that is now around the commitment, I still get to exercise identity instead of presence.
Yes. Yeah. That's kind of the bottom line, isn't it?
Yeah.
With all of this. Yes. Yeah. And we're just teasing it apart, right? That's what practice is teasing these things apart, these beliefs and assumptions that we have that we assume are true, and we get to realize, no, actually not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even if we found something that was true, empirically speaking, true, it still would not be more important than presence.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, our assignment for today. Words like eyeglasses blur everything they do not make clear.
Mm.
Benjamin Franklin's encouragement on the subject, remember not only to say the right thing in the right place, but far more difficult still to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. Today, practice saying only what is necessary and kind.
That's a good one, huh?
Very good. Very good.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherry.
Take care. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.